Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, I haven't heard straight funk myself in a minute. So listen, welcome to Everybody is a Star live on Tribe Family Channel. This is your favorite flavor, Patrice Chocolate Banks, and I am excited about the fact that this is our fourth season. Can you believe it? Four. I want to thank all of you funkologists for your continued support, and you know that I am going to continue my quest to keep the funk alive. And you know this, so that's why you continue to tune in. So I appreciate you so much. Now, tonight is so special for so many reasons, but because February is Black Mystery Month. Did I say mystery? Yep, I said mystery. And I said mystery because our history was eliminated from history books for so long. We really didn't know what, who, or where we fit into this place called America for decades. But then that's another whole show that we'll do another time. Tonight, we are celebrating someone who is indeed every woman, and as far as history is concerned, has demolished barriers, ceilings, and labels for not only African American, but all women, okay, all women all over the world, okay? So it is my pleasure and honor to bring to you Jane Kennedy over 10. I got it. Welcome, my sister.
Hey, Patrice.
And thank you for joining us tonight. I am so excited to have you. I'm skipping up over my words and messing up and stuff. It's because I'm excited to have you.
You can just call me Jane.
Okay, Jane. I'll just call you Jane. So now I have so many things to talk to you about, but I want to go ahead, and before we get started, because I like to start from the beginning, as in hometown, what high school you went to and all that. But before I do that, I want to just list, like, not all your accomplishments like we talked about, but a whole bunch of them. For those who don't know, they are getting ready to learn. Is that all right with you?
Go right ahead. Maybe I'll learn something along the way. Much of it was so long ago. Maybe I forgot a few of them.
I don't know. So now you are an American icon, a pioneer, award-winning actress, broadcaster, TV personality, producer, exercise guru, talk show host, model, singer, dancer, lecturer, product spokeswoman, and now you're a brand new author, I understand. And you are best known for your groundbreaking tenure as co-anchor on the previously all-male desk of the most popular network sports show in TV history. Did you guys hear me? TV history, CBS's NFL Today, as one of the first African-American and one of the first female sports broadcasters. Now, I don't know if you guys are following me or not, but I hope you have your pens and your paper out, because this right here, talking about Black history, this is Funk 101 right here, okay? So Jane destroyed the myth that women couldn't make it in the world of sports broadcasting, okay? She destroyed that myth, blasting the doors wide open. She blasted them open for women in sports. Okay, Miss Kennedy is the only female to ever host one of TV's longest-running syndicated sports series, Greatest Sports Legends. Okay, so, okay, now we got that part. Now let's move on. Jane is also an Emmy Award winner, She is an NAACP Image Award winner. Okay, got that? And on top of that, she was, check this out. This is what gets me. I love this part. She is also a pioneer in the exercise and fitness video industry. She is one of the first in the history of celebrity home fitness and exercise videos, producing the series Love Your Body, which skyrocketed to number 3, only behind Jane Fonda and Richard Simmons. Okay? Whew. I'm tired. Are you guys tired?
I'm tired.
So,
I'm tired just remembering. I'm almost finished.
Okay, so also, Jane was in high demand for product endorsements, worked with Coca-Cola, Botab and Diet Cola, Reebok, Revlon, Fashion Fair Cosmetics, Jovan Fragrances, and much, 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 much more. But you guys get the picture right now, okay? This is somebody for us all to be excited about, women especially, and all you guys who have that poster of Jane up, okay? All you guys, this is your chance right now to find out exactly as much as we can find out in 30 minutes about Jane Kennedy Overton, okay? So, Jane. Here
yes.
we go. We're going with the questions now. So now,
okay.
Where were you raised?
Well, I was born in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
but I was raised in Ohio, in the outskirts of Cleveland, Ohio. So Midwestern girl to a family of 6 children. I'm the second oldest. There were 5 girls, and the youngest was the baby boy. My mom and dad said, we're going to keep going until we get a boy.
Okay.
And number 6 was my, I call him my little brother, but he's actually 6'9 right now. So my
wow.
big little brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, what school did you, we're just going to do the high school because people love to know stuff like that. What high school did you graduate from?
No one will ever know it. It's Wycliffe High School, very tiny little town. You can drive through it in 5 minutes.
I don't know if no one will ever know it. Now, college, what about college?
I did not go to college.
Okay, all right. See, there you go. College isn't for everybody. Y'all heard that, right? Okay.
Well, okay, that doesn't mean I didn't want to.
Okay.
I absolutely wanted to. You know, it was my ambition. My dream initially was I was going to go into politics, political science major. I was going to do 1 year at Kent State University, then transfer to New York and go to Columbia for my undergrad degree. And I was going to be like Shirley Chisholm. She was my idol. And
mm-hmm.
I was going to model with the Wilhelmina Fashion Agency on the side, making money for attending college. But ended up following the path to Hollywood instead. I started doing a small television show in Cleveland, Ohio, and ended up moving west.
Okay, so now, what were your first creative childhood influences like? How did you know that you were a creative person? You know what I'm saying? Creative people, artists and stuff like that, understand at some age, usually early in life, that there is something a little bit different about them than everybody else. So when did it hit you that there was something extra you wanted to do, creative?
Okay, Patrice, let me just say this. Okay, I'm 64 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I have done a lot of interviews. I have never had anybody ask me that question before.
Yay! Yay! I am glad to hear that. And you know why I'm asking you? Because I want to know from, you know, like from one woman to another and from one artist to another. It's like, you know, how did you know? When did it hit you?
Yeah, and I don't really have an answer. I do know that I have a picture of myself when I was maybe 4 years old. And I used to always, my favorite little outfit was a set of shorts and a little tank top. And they had palm trees on
mm-hmm.
the shorts. And I had these little sunglasses back in the day, the sunglasses that, you know, they have put a little point on the edge, the outside corners, with rhinestones on them.
Mm-hmm,
so I'd put
mm-hmm.
my little sunglasses on and my short set with the palm trees and tell everybody I was going to go to Hollywood and be a movie star. Now, I had no idea how that was ever going to even be possible, but something inside of me told me, you know, that was a dream.
Okay. So it sounds like the very first passion you had was like to be go to Hollywood and be a movie star. So, like, were you into like, was your family into movies? Were you into movies? Did you watch a lot of TV?
No,
you know?
No, not at all. The very first movie that I ever saw was Yellowstone Kelly. My dad took me to the movie theater, and I was more impressed with the he went out and bought me a soda and a bucket of popcorn, and I couldn't, for the life of me, for years and years and years, could not remember what that drink was, but I remembered the taste, and I had never tasted anything like it before. But Yellowstone Kelly was my very first movie, and Clint Walker was my idol. You know, I just thought he was amazing in that movie. So fast forward years later to the early 1980s, and I was working as a spokeswoman for Coca-Cola. And one day, I'm sitting there, and somebody brought me a Dr. Pepper. And I said, oh, my God, this is it.
I had never had
a Dr. Pepper all that time, but I remembered it, and I associate it with Yellowstone Kelly. And then I did have the opportunity, you know, to do a movie for CBS TV called Mysterious Island of Beautiful Women, and that was maybe 1978, something like that. But it was a movie for CBS TV. And my very first day on the set, I went to the makeup trailer, and sitting in the makeup trailer was Clint Walker.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, I had been in Hollywood since 71, and this was now 7 years later, and it finally hit me. I'm in Hollywood.
Okay.
So that was my aha moment.
Okay.
But as kids, we used to go down in the basement and pretend to be the Supremes, the Four Tops, and do all the dance moves, you know. So music was a huge part of growing up for us.
Right.
And the arts was extremely important in our family. But I can't pinpoint it to say that there was any type of indication or effort or agenda to follow in those footsteps.
Okay. All right. So then let's fast forward to your big break and the beginning of your career. How did that happen? What happened?
I don't think that there was a single moment. It was more of a transition because I started modeling when I was in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to make my own clothes. So I would model the outfits that I wore. I would go to home ec class, and while everybody was learning how to sew a straight line, I was finishing my entire project for the semester because my mom taught us all how to sew.
Right.
So I would design, you know, maybe that's an artistic impression as well. I would design all my outfits and make
them. Absolutely.
And then when I was in 10th grade, I started modeling for the May Company teen board. And then in 11th grade is when I met Shirley Chisholm, and that's when I decided I was politics was my field. So I then ended up going to Washington, D.C. with the American Legion. They had a program called Girls Nation, and I was elected from my school to represent the school at Girls State. And while I was at Girls State, I was elected as a senator to go to Girls Nation in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was in D.C., I ran for president. I ran for vice president. And because we were senators, vice president is the one that basically ran the program for the rest of the week because the VP runs the Senate.
Right.
And I won. So you can technically say that I'm the first African-American vice president of the United States.
Well, you know what?
Even though it was Girls' Generation.
But you know what? as much as you have done, if you decide to run for president, I will be the first one to buy a T-shirt.
Oh, that's
I
really
want
sweet.
You to know that because you have done so much, and it couldn't have been easy. So that's going to bring me to let's go into your sports casting days. And how difficult was it to maneuver in what was and still is considered a forum for men? I'm sure the journey to that particular arena is a long story that unfortunately we don't have time for. But I just want to know, how did it feel breaking into that?
Well, you know, the entire process was extremely difficult. And it was doing live television. I'd been doing, you know, acting in movies and TV for 7 years before I even joined the NFL Today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so different, you know, because live television and the television industry was so different back then than it is now. So the pressure to do live television when you're on a desk, a four-man desk, and it's unscripted, and you have things that are happening all the time. It's not like you're talking about something that happened yesterday, but you're talking about things that are happening at the moment.
Right.
So the challenge was extremely difficult, and I always said, you know, once you've done the, you know, a show like that, you could probably do any type of live television going forward. And then there was always the pressure of the male journalists who did not want me to succeed. And the a lot of them were writers, sports writers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the resentment came in, you know, because television, you talk about what's happening in the moment.
Right.
Whereas a reporter, a writer, would have to wait for their story to come out the next day. And the fact that they didn't want a woman to succeed, and the fact that they didn't want a black woman to succeed. And, you know, so it was like everything was geared towards you're not going to win this, you're going to fail. So
right.
That pressure was enormous.
Okay. So now, what did you draw your strength and determination from?
My parents.
Okay.
Hands down.
Mm-hmm.
They taught me that I could do anything that I set my mind to.
Okay. And so when things got particularly rough for you, would you call your mom or your dad?
My mom, because, and mom. But, you know, that doesn't really mean that there was a preference, because my dad sometimes would work 2 to 3 jobs. You know, we didn't grow up an entitled family at all. You know, my dad 2 and 3 jobs. Sometimes, you know, he'd get home at 11 o'clock at night, and we'd be in the summer, you lay out on the street, on the tree lawn, and wait for him to come home. And it was safe back then to lay out
mm-hmm.
on the grass. You know,
mm-hmm.
we'd fall asleep under the lamp. He'd come home and pick us up and carry us to bed. So, you know, Dad wasn't often there, but, you know, that there were times when things were a challenge. One time in particular, I know it was an extremely difficult time in my life, and I hadn't mentioned it to my family at all. And I did a cover for Ebony Magazine, and when the cover came out, my mom was the very first person to call.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hello, and the first thing she said to me is, what's wrong, baby? And I said, what are you talking about? She said, I can see it in your eyes. So
right.
We have a very close family, and that family bond that my parents gave us, all 6 of us, is what I used as my roadmap in terms of raising my children. And it has worked, because I ended up in a position where I can actually say I like all my girls. I like them. I don't just love them. I respect them. I respect who they are. And I'm just really happy that I had the parents that I did have, not to say that we didn't have our challenges along the way.
Of course.
But those hard times are the ones that you learn the most from.
Right. And I don't know all of your girls, but the one I do know, Miss Copper Joy, is like best friends with my daughter Destiny. And I like her a lot. She is just as sweet as she wants to be.
Oh, thank you. Thank
yes,
you. So is Destiny.
So if all the rest of them are like her, you did an excellent job. So I forgot to ask you this. When you were singing in the, when you and your family were singing in the basement, I think you said, the Supremes and all the Motown stuff, what voice did you sing? What are you singing? Soprano, alto? What are you? Did you do lead, background?
I used to be soprano, but I'm now an alto. I don't know if that changes, but, yeah, for me
it does.
It
does change. It does change. For me, it changed. I started out being a soprano, and now I'm an alto, sometimes a tenor, depending on what the song is. So did you do a
really
lot of lead singing?
We went home. Actually, no. When we were kids and singing in front of the mirror in the basement, we didn't really sound like we knew what we were doing. Whoever knew the words at that point would jump in and do the lead.
Oh.
But we all sang in choir, you know, all the way through school. But I got to say that I have my baby sister, Brenda. She's the one with the voice.
Mm-hmm.
She's a trained opera singer, and if you heard her sing, you would just lose your mind. As a matter of fact, she just a month ago sang with the Cleveland Philharmonic. Tribute to leading into Dr. King's birthday, and she was one of the featured singers with
and
the Cleveland Philharmonic.
She is Brenda who? What's the last name?
Brenda Harrison.
Harrison. So is
yes.
it YouTube?
I don't think so.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And I was looking for it, but I didn't find it. But it was the Dr. King
up.
Celebration. The Cleveland Philharmonic, or it might be the Cleveland Symphony, but she didn't tell me, which, you know, I'm going to have a word with her about. I found out from her daughter who posted it on Facebook. So I'm going to have to do some research myself.
She was wrong for that. She should have told you about that. That's a huge deal right there. And also, while we're speaking about singers and things, I also know from a little inside information that Claudette Smokey Robinson's, Claudette of Smokey Robinson and the Miracles is a very good friend of yours. And she's another phenomenal woman who I can't wait to talk to one day and also interview, because I know her story is strong. Just being a woman in this industry, and the industry is so dominated by men, it always fascinates me, each woman's story, because I have a story. We all have a story, you know, especially back in the day. A lot of times there would be only one female in the group, you know, saying everybody
right.
else would be men. So you would
That's
have
right.
so you would have to deal with that. So each woman has a different way of dealing with that, especially according to whatever era it was, you know. So I just wanted to shout out Claudette, and I hope that she is feeling better. So,
yeah, I've known Claudette since I was 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's always been there for me. But, you know, you're so right in terms of every woman have a story. I've been working on my autobiography, which is called Plain Jane, and I started it in 2000, and it's taken me a long time. I call it my living process piece because I wanted to write about each stage in my life.
Right.
And I'm now at the stage, I'm living the stage now where I talk about finding yourself after your children are gone, you know. So my youngest will graduate college next year. So that's where I am in my story. And so I'm living that. As soon as that's done, write it, put it to bed, and then the book will be released. But it's definitely been a journey. And I keep asking myself, I say, you know, what makes – why write my story? And that's the answer that I have to come up with for the purpose of the book, because every woman has a story. Every person has a story. So, and they're all unique and they're all amazing and they all deserve to be told. So in your living your life, you have to come up with that purpose for what's your story? And sometimes it takes writing it down before you can come to the realization of what your purpose is in life. And for me, that happened, and I just kept saying, if the book never gets published, for me it was an extremely cathartic experience, and I learned so much about myself through, you know, the introspective questions that I kept asking over and over and over again. And I just think it's an amazing experience, and I'm looking forward to sharing my answers to what the purpose is, and I'm looking forward to maybe even finding more answers before the whole process is finished.
And you know, you're so right, because I have written a book called Deja Vu, Memoirs of a Funk Diva, you know, which includes my career with Grand Central Station and mm-hmm. before Grand Central Station.
Which I'm a big fan, by the way. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So, and you're right. It was such a healing process, you know what I'm saying? And like you said, I was really, like, writing it as, you know, just to get a bunch of stuff out. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And when it was over and after people read it, then I understood, because they told me over and over again how they could relate to what I was saying and how it helped them to read that, you know, people who they might admire for whatever reason has gone through, you know, tough times and troubles and burdens and have crosses to bear just like everybody else. And so if you can get through it and stand on your own two feet on the other side of it, then you can inspire and motivate other people. So if for no other reason, that's the best reason, is for service for other people who read your book. So you hurry up and get that book out. I will be one of the first to buy it.
Well, thank you. But you know what? When you look to people that you admire, oftentimes those people that you admire, it doesn't have to be a celebrated person. It doesn't, you know, nobody in sports or television or any realm of life that might be celebrated. But the people that you admire can be in your church, in your family, in
right.
your school.
That's right.
It could be your best friend.
Right.
You know, and it's up to you to find those qualities that turn you on, you know, that make you admire who they are.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And if we could get all of those people to write a book, wouldn't it be wonderful?
Wouldn't it?
So listen, do you have, what would be your advice to, I'm going to say women, young women out there today, because we didn't even get to touch on the fact that you were and are, but especially at a certain particular time in your life, this sex symbol, baby. And that must have been pressure right there. So I didn't even get a chance to touch on that. Your career, your life has so many facets. It's really hard to do in 30 minutes. I'm trying my best. But what advice would you give to young women who are just out there trying to make it, doing whatever it is they do, whether they sing, they dance, because you've done it all. Sing, dance, broadcaster, you know, all of it, you've done it all. So what advice would you give?
Well, I mean, you know, like I could write a book just on advice, because I try to be there for not only my children, but they're best friends. A lot of them call me mom. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been giving advice to a lot of folks over the years. But I think my through line has always been, number one, my mom used to always tell me, you don't have to please everybody. Don't try to please everybody. You have to only answer to yourself and to your God.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to stay true. That was one of the things when I went to Hollywood, I kept saying, you know, I don't want to end up having to sell myself short, sell out, trying to be somebody that I'm not. I want to keep my feet firmly planted on the ground, be true to myself. And the other thing is never quit. You know, if this is what you believe in, don't let people talk you out of it. Because when I first came to L.A., everybody kept saying, and this was back in the 70s, so again, you only had three networks in terms of work opportunities. and you only had the major studio, so you didn't have, you know, like all these opportunities that are available now where you've got cable television or
right.
web TV and all these other ancillary options didn't exist back then. So people would say, well, if you want to be an actress, you can't do anything else. You can't dance. You can't be on a sports show. You can't be a singer. You can't do all this stuff. Just be a serious actress, and that's it. If you want to be taken seriously, that's the only thing to do. I never listened to them
mm-hmm.
because bottom line is there wasn't that much work in the 70s to be a serious actress and to be able to, you know, accommodate your lifestyle or take care of yourself.
Right.
You know, there just weren't the options. And even when you did get a starring role in a movie, you know, you might not get another one for 5 years. And then the one that you got, they don't pay you anything.
Right.
You know, so how are you going to live on that? So my objective was, hey, if I can learn how to do it, I'm going to do it, period. And nobody's going to talk me out of it. Even when people kept saying, you know, well, you can't be on the NFL today. You're not a journalist. And my agent refused to submit me. You know, you just find a way. Go a different, take a different route. You know, and that's how it worked for me.
And on top of that, if your name is on something, it belongs to you no matter what anybody says.
Well, that goes especially true for your own self. You know, who are you? I'm, you know, this is me. I can't let somebody else, you know, run my life or tell me, you know, well, you can't do it this way, you can't do it that way. And that was important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, baby, I'm going to tell you one thing. You definitely did not let anybody stop you from doing a plethora of things, okay? Now, so what are you doing now? What's going on with you right now? I know you're writing this book, and what else are you doing? I know that you're getting back out there slowly but surely in the public.
Yeah. Well, I set 2016 as a target several years ago, so I've been developing other properties. I've got 2 feature films, 5 television shows that I've developed that, you know, I'm going to try to get deals on, you know, how the industry goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the book, and then I've also worked with my daughter, Zaire, creating a children's book. And then I've been working with my daughter, Savannah, on a speaker series called It's a Mother-Daughter Thing. And one of the things that bothers me is that, you know, people are going, what's wrong with our young people? What's wrong with this country? And I think it goes back to, you know, as soon as we stopped allowing parents to discipline our children, you know, who's
Amen.
Raising them? Who's raising the kids?
Absolutely.
You know, so now we sit them down in front of the television or we send them to school, and unfortunately we have families that you have to have both parents having an income. So, you know, then the parents aren't there, and then the kids are coming home raising themselves, or the parents are expecting the teachers to do it, but they don't pay the teachers enough. So there's so many issues that come into play, but the bottom line is so many times the kids end up raising themselves.
Right.
So I think that, you know, one of the problems that we have is we don't take the family seriously anymore. The structure of the family, you know, the fact that it takes a village to raise, it's not just the family. Everybody's on their cell phones or on their iPads or in a corner with some form of social media or, you know, like you've got 5 TVs in your house, so you've got 5 different movies, 5 different rooms, and nobody's watching any movies together. And, you know, it's no wonder.
Yeah, the family people is so fractured. If I could have maybe a dime for every time I've seen somebody walk into a pole or into somebody else because they're looking down,
yeah.
You know, obviously, yeah,
and life is passing them
with
by.
Their phones or whatever they're messing with, as opposed to looking in front of themselves to see just where they're going, something that basic and simple. Just watch where you're going. They don't even do that anymore.
And I understand the need, you know, to be engaged with social media or the internet or programming or movies or news, you know. And so I understand that you get this interactive feed that's coming, but how do you deal with it? How do you make judgments? How do you make decisions? You know, you're this massive influx of information can be so overwhelming that, you know, we need to teach media literacy so that our young people know what to do with all of this information.
Right.
It's a different world. So when we, Savannah is a media studies master's, and she's a diversity consultant. She's the director of admissions at the Duke Ellington School of the Arts in Washington, D.C. But she and I work together to address a lot of these issues about how the media, in fact, impacts families. So that's another thing that we're doing. But
important work. I like the sound of that. That is so necessary.
Yeah, yeah. And you can find the link to that, you know, on my Jane Kennedy Overton Facebook page. So it's called It's a Mother-Daughter Thing, and it's on the left with the links. It'll take you to the website on what we're trying to do. And I just think that, you know, I've been in the position where travel the world, meet famous people, see amazing places, and I want this next phase of my life where I can actually do something about it. People used to always tell me you're a role model, so I want to put it to work.
Be of service. Yeah, exactly. Me too. That's the same place I'm in my life at this point. That's why I'm doing, yeah. One of the big reasons why I'm doing this show is to be of service. And
yeah.
That's so important because, after all, I mean, what other reason are we here? Why? Why are we here if we
right.
cannot be of service? Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right.
And one of my other passions is working with veterans. And we've got these people who have put their lives on the line, and they're coming home now with PTSD and TBIs. The diagnoses are there and are real, but we cannot treat them adequately because we don't have the facilities and the programs and the money, et cetera. So I've been working. I'm on the board of advisors with Resurrecting Lives Foundation, and we're helping to develop, you know, fundraising options and programs to help treat these veterans, he and she. And,
right.
You know, I'm working with Dr. Chris Ann Gordon, who's a rehabilitation therapist, and she treats a lot of these veterans. So one of the things that we have done is we have created a television series with the idea of bringing to the mindset of the American people on a weekly basis. You know, this isn't just an agenda that we need to see in a movie where you look at it and 30 days later you're onto the next subject.
Right.
And this isn't something that's just going to be, you know, mentioned in the newspaper, but we just want to instill in the American consciousness that don't keep pointing fingers at the government. We all can do something.
Absolutely.
To help these people.
Positively. We have to do something. We all have to. Yeah, we just can't depend on anybody else.
Yeah, we have to. We have to. Because many of them are our neighbors, our family members.
Yeah, so, you know, it's important that, like you said, it takes a village. And I want to say one other thing, too, about you, that you are a wonderful artist.
Oh. I wonder how you know that. But thank you.
Wonderful artist. I was like, wow, what can this woman not do? So,
thank you.
Wow. So listen, for everyone.
I used to draw when I was in high school,
mm-hmm.
and my mom told me you can never make a career out of art. You need to do something real. And I said, oh, okay. And I stopped. And so a couple of years ago, I started back again.
Well,
I'm so glad
you did.
Well, it was so the audience will know, I did a drawing, a pencil of Patrice's daughter, Destiny. For a birthday present, and she was so excited she took it to her mom to show it to her.
And
it's one of my
exactly
favorites.
Exactly like her.
It's one of my favorite pieces. I show everybody.
Oh, my God. It's framed and put up on the wall and all that right now. So, okay.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, it's holding a place of honor. I said, she draws to what does this woman not do? So, listen.
Well, I've also been working on my collection because I'm going to start a line of art, whether it's paintings and drawings or jewelry. So I've been designing costume jewelry called Jane Kennedy Originals for JKO. And I've been just collecting the pieces right now. I'm not ready to launch the website and to go into sales. But I will be at some point. One of the other things that I'm going to be doing is doing my costume jewelry and my art.
And I want some jewelry and some art. So, Jane, what is it? I'm just listening to you. You are such a busy person. You are involved in so many different wonderful causes. Where does all this energy come from? You know,
I have no idea. Well, you know what? I was
Do
a manager.
You have
another
any time
thing.
In the day.
I
yourself.
Used to manage Zaire's club soccer team, and we traveled everywhere with her team. They were really, really good. They were the champions of the NCAA Collegiate Showcase a couple of years back. But that took up a huge portion of my time. So when she graduated high school and went off to college and didn't play soccer anymore, I got a lot of free time to just start exploring, you know, now what am I going to do? And that was the next step, you know, for me towards getting to a position where I was going to say, okay, I'm going to relaunch my career.
Right. And, baby, you relaunched it with a vengeance. And look out, world. So, now, your information, where can we go to find out about what Jane Kennedy Overton is doing?
Well, you can... I just started my Facebook page a few weeks ago, so, you know, I don't even know how to do that
Copper
whole stuff
does.
About...
Copper
Yeah. So that's a learning curve for me. I don't even know how to take a decent selfie.
You did a good job. You did a good job.
Well,
so,
thank you. I'm
so
working at
it. You got
the
Facebook
it,
going and what else?
Yeah, well, that's all I got so far, but it's Jane Kennedy Overton on Facebook, and it'll, like I said, you can look for the link to It's a Mother-Daughter Thing on the left, and you can visit resurrectinglives.org to find out more about our work for our veterans.
Okay, and you're also assigned to an agency?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm working on that.
All right. So repeat that one more time, your Facebook and Resurrection. Repeat that information one more time.
ResurrectingLives.org.
Okay. Got
it. And
okay.
On the Jane Kennedy Overton Facebook page, you can like the page and help me grow my awareness if you like it. And you can also find the link for It's a Mother-Daughter Thing, and you can visit that and find some more interviews that Savannah and I have been doing. And Zaire has been working on, she did study abroad in Brazil last year, and so she's been working on revisiting Brazil. She wants to work the Olympics in Rio for
awesome.
The summer.
That's awesome.
So that's her agenda, and Copper is going to help me with all my social media stuff.
Of course she is.
Teach me what I'm doing wrong. So, again, you know, it's a mother-daughter thing, and I guess they figure I've helped them along the way all these years that it's time they help me now.
And they're absolutely right. You got any shout-outs? Want to shout anybody out?
Just my mama,
Virginia. Okay. Virginia. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So I have a couple of shout outs. I want to shout out God, my family, Destiny, and Copper Joy. I would be remiss if I did not mention those two young ladies. The Facebook
Absolutely.
Nation, Beverly Black Johnson of Tribe Family Channel, For all things chocolate, you can go to PatriceChocolateBanks.com. And I have a song list for you, and we're going to try to get almost all your songs in at the end of the show after we sign off. But I want to ask you about one of the songs, which is called Miss Fat Booty by Mos Def.
Yes.
By
I knew you were going to pick that one.
By Mos Def. And I listened to it, and I said, well, why did she pick this one? And as I listened to it, I did hear that he mentioned your name in the song. So I know that must have been very interesting for you, huh?
That was, because that came at a point where I was so far, 180 degrees away from show business.
Mm-hmm.
And my family was not involved in it. I was not involved in it. I was like, drop the kids off at school, do the PTA and the soccer thing and the basketball thing. And then there was volleyball and baseball and swimming and all of that stuff. And I was just so far from even thinking about entertainment. And it was I called it my other life.
Right.
And I had picked up the kids from school one day. We were driving down the street from the market, and the song comes on the air, and, you know, it's a great song, and Mos Def is rapping away, and he gets about halfway through, and he says, girl, you so fine, you look like Jane Kennedy. And I slammed on the brakes, and I said, whoa, where did that come from? And Zaire looks at me, and she says, Mommy, did he say your name? The couple started laughing, and Samantha said, wait a minute, pull over, what is he saying? We have to listen to the rest. And then the next day at school, all the kids at the elementary school were talking about, did you hear somebody talked about your name on the radio? And it was such a big deal because, like I said, we had no correlation with the entertainment industry.
Right.
And all of my kids' friends had no idea that
right.
I even worked in show business.
And it
so
was
it was
deaf, and that was so funny to me. I said,
it was
okay.
Definitely funny.
Well, there you go. Once a legend, always a legend. So you cannot get away from it. So you got
who is my family's favorite singer today? Mos Def.
What? I heard that. So Jane, you have been to talk to, and thank you so much. I know you're a busy person, so I appreciate you taking time out to join me here on Everybody Is a Star. So we
not a problem. I have completely enjoyed myself.
Yay, I'm glad. So we're going to take it out now. We're going to I know that you've heard about Maurice White, so we're
yes.
going to do a tribute as we take it out to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we're going to also insert your songs in there. So we're just going to party on the way out, and in the meantime, I just want to thank you, and I just want to say to everybody who is listening, I know that there are a bunch of you guys who called in, but I had to get everything, I had to squeeze every drop out of Jane, okay? So we might have to do a part two for those of you who might want to ask her a few questions. But in the meantime, until the next time, may the funk be with all y'all, every single one of you. And so we're going to go out thanking you very much, Jane. And
thank you, Patrice. But I got to say one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I know probably one of your followers is going to say, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Cam.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. I knew I liked you.
Cam is going to... Cam is going to win the Super Bowl. Okay.
Yeah,
are you having
them,
a Super Bowl
them,
party?
I call them the Carolina Panthers.
Girl, you better say that. Say that one more time.
Carolina Panthers. Not Carolina. They're the Carolina Panthers.
I got you.
Thank you.
That is right. Okay. Well, I hope I don't lose my money. So,
right? All
right.
Well, God bless you
okay,
and
you too,
everyone.
Jane. Thank
and thank you.
You
so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us. And we're going to party, okay? Here we
All
go.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
God bless Maurice.
to lose.